Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. And you're going to be glad you did because our good friend Leslie Kossoff is back with us all the way from France. That's right. She's in the country of France, and she lives there and works in that part of the world. Also still works in the United States. She still does work in the U.S., but she's, as you've heard me say many times before, she's not only our one of our global business minds, but she's our quality expert in the Brain Trust. She's the author of Managing for Quality, and she's also the author of Executive Thinking, The Dream, The Vision, The Mission Achieved, and she is our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust. Leslie Kossoff, welcome back to the show.
It's my pleasure, Jim. It always is.
It's wonderful to have you back. It's been too long. Leslie, I know we're going to talk about quality in a minute, but you got to give us a little bit of a report on how things are going in Europe generally, but in France specifically. How's my buddy Sarkozy doing over there?
Your buddy Sarkozy is doing extremely well. He seems to be past the worst of public relations nightmares that he created for himself.
Yeah.
And a lot of the changes that he's making and the stances that he's taking regarding business, not just in France, but in the Eurozone, are actually very, very good. And if he's able to make it work, could actually create a problem for U.S. small businesses, because
really,
what he and a lot of people in the EU would like to do is to create the equivalent of the kind of legislation that we're used to through the Small Business Administration,
mm-hmm,
that's very supportive of small business and small business growth. Right now in the Eurozone, it's actually better, and very particularly in France, it's better if you stay very, very small and
right,
have no growth potential at all.
Right.
And but he is working not only on the internal legislation in this country to get away from things like the mandatory 35-hour work week, which he's actually found an end run around,
mm-hmm,
as well as, again, as I said, on the larger Eurozone basis, they're looking very, very hard at following the U.S. model. And so if they pull it off, they're going to become a juggernaut.
When I was in Denmark, in Copenhagen, a little over a year ago, that was something that we discovered, is that you know, all the layers of support that we have here in the United States with regard to the SBA, Small Business Development Centers, Chambers of Commerce, the Department of Commerce, et cetera, et cetera, they don't have that infrastructure over there. They don't have those support levels over there, and they want them. And I saw the demand for these things in Denmark. So, and as you know, Denmark is one of the better, they actually are a country where you can fire employees. That's a good thing.
Which, yes, and boy, talk about a problem. The whole idea of at-will employment does not exist in any form in
right,
France, and actually through most of the Eurozone, it doesn't
yep,
exist.
Yeah.
So
that's a competitive problem for them, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And again, it's something that they're looking at. But because they have a different social contract with the people over here, with their citizenry, that's going to be a really hard one to crack.
It's not just a legislative statutory issue. It's also a cultural issue, isn't it?
It is absolutely a cultural issue. And you know, in an odd way, very much like Japan and the old structure of the salary man, which, of course, is changing now, and as you know, I've done quite a bit of work over in Japan
right,
as well, it's the same sort of idea over here, that it's, you know, that the whole purpose of the corporation is to serve the society.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot more money that goes into, from corporations into the society, which is why the tax liabilities over here just... Really, it makes whatever our taxes are in the States look like a cheap date.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I agree. Well, look, I thank you for that report. I really appreciate you doing that. That's good information for us over on this side. I know you wanted to talk about quality, so I'm going to make sure we get into that. What are some of your new perspectives on quality for small business?
Well, first of all, especially in a downturn, the biggest thing is that it has to stop being looked at as a strategic differentiator, and you need to look at it fast and tactically, which can be done if you're really smart. And again, the wonderful thing about small business is that you're nimble. And so going after a quality initiative can be done, and it can be done well and quickly with immediate results. And what I'd like to do, actually, is talk about some of the ways to target in on getting at those results right away.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. Shall we start now?
Yes,
or do we...
go ahead. No, go right now.
Then. Okay, good. Then the first things, really, the two major things that you got to start looking for are waste and inconsistency in how you do business. The first issue on waste is, anytime you see any form of waste, waste of time, waste of attention, waste of money, definitely, waste of resources, anything that is being thrown away in one way or another, there's a quality opportunity. And I want to actually go back to something that you talk about, Jim, that is absolutely right on target, and it's the difference between quality service versus quality processes.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking at, if you're a wonderful provider and you're giving excellent aftercare, you're wasting money. You're wasting money and you're wasting time because you've done something wrong that's leading to that. And so you need to be looking at what kinds of complaints are coming in, because if your people are taking time on complaints, that means, first of all, you've got the time of the people who are taking the complaints and then the fix afterwards. If you've got any kinds of returns, if you have any kinds of warranty work, these are all quick opportunities to identify where something is going wrong, and you can start then identifying what do we need to do and back it up to as early as you possibly can, everything from how are we ordering from our suppliers? Do we have what we need in the form we need it when we need it, which is the basis of just-in-time, which is, again, one of the quality tools. And it becomes that really conscious push to see where are we wasting or where are we being wasted by others, because you may need to change your suppliers.
So many small business owners go around bragging and being so proud of themselves because when something goes wrong, boy, howdy, we get it fixed right away. Our customers are number one, and if we don't deliver something, we shoot it right back out there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, tell you what, folks, that's not something to be proud of. You should be proud of the fact that you don't have those problems. And that's exactly what Leslie's talking about. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with more of this after these messages. Leslie Kossoff is with us. She's all the way, coming to us all the way from France. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Walking down the street one day.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. Leslie Kossoff is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, coming to us all the way from France. You're in Paris right now, aren't you, Leslie?
I am, yes.
It's good to have you back, Leslie, as always. By the way, folks, Leslie's books are Managing for Quality and Executive Thinking, which is one of my favorite books on the planet. Leslie, give us your website and tell us how we can find you.
It is www.kossoff, which is spelled KOSSOFF.com. And if you go to it, there is my monthly executive advisory, which is a free publication. And if you subscribe to that, you will be getting my regular thoughts, or you'll get my thoughts regularly on how to improve your business.
And it's very valuable, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you this. It's worth your time and the effort to go there. Leslie, and thank you for that also, by the way, Leslie. Okay, tell us where you're saying that there's a resurgence. An increased interest in quality, now more modernly called the lean process, among small business owners in Europe. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, there is. Small and large, but in among the small businesses, there are a lot of pushes to move lean into the sector because there's a recognition that it's a major cost saving. It increases productivity, morale increases, everything improves in the organization. And for our purposes, particularly in the United States, you'll hear this talked about as lean, but what you're actually talking about is exactly the same thing that we talked about starting late 70s through the 80s and 90s that we referred to as the quality improvement
process. Total quality management, all those things, all those terms.
All of those
the
names.
Precursor, the precursors to ISO and all that.
Absolutely, and what ISO is based on, actually. If you look at the way that ISO is designed, it was designed based on the whole idea of quality implementation as defined by people like W. Edwards Deming, whom you know I worked with for 3 years, and was an absolutely brilliant mind. And again, looking at the
he was the father of modern quality, basically.
He was, and he turned around Japan after World War II, which led them to be the juggernaut that they became, large and small businesses. And so we tend to look, and that's an interesting thing about Japan, we tend to only look at the large businesses, the Sonys and you know, those kinds of names. But in fact, the way that those guys worked so successfully and the way they built their success was based on building what they referred to as the spider web or keiretsu among small business suppliers. And it's because they worked with the small businesses to ensure that they had the quality processes in place. Well, that's now also what's being asked of the small and medium-sized businesses over here, particularly in Europe. ISO is still a very, very big thing. And it's
But have they figured out how is lean a more small business friendly way of thinking about quality than ISO is?
Because what I remember,
Leslie, is that quality was not the quality process was a little cumbersome and a little onerous for the typical small business.
And it still is, to be honest with you, because it's for the small business owner, the problem is you have to spend a lot of time thinking about where you're going to target it, how you're going to target it, and all of the rest, which is why, as I said in our earlier segment, you got to be fast about it. You got to be tactical. You'll get a full process into place, but how you do it is not the same way that a large business would do it. And so there's a backing off, and there's a lot of information out there now for small businesses on how to implement quality initiatives that are more targeted in the small business market. It's still going to be somewhat cumbersome. And again, for a small business, because the time that's taken with employees being in meetings and talking about quality opportunities and how to improve things, it has a very direct impact on your productivity and what kinds of revenues and profits you're able to generate. You have to be smarter as a small business, whereas in larger businesses, you can do large-scale implementation, lots of teams at the same time. My advice to small businesses is always start with one. If you really feel good about it, maybe expand to two, but keep in mind you can do it in your regular staff meeting where you sit there and you just ask your employees, what's not working, what drives you nuts? Because that is exactly what goes on inside of the quality process. Call it lean, call it quality, call it whatever you want.
Well, another thing, quick way to think of it, folks, if you're so proud of the fact that when your customers call and they need something quickly, that you run it out there to them and get it to them and you make them happy. Well, quality, what Leslie's talking about is where you go out to your customer and you say, okay, let's look at what you've needed quickly over the last 3 months. Let's look at how we've delivered these things. And why don't we anticipate those things so, number one, you have them immediately. Number two, I can hold my costs down and save you money in the long run. That's quality, isn't it?
Jim, that's a perfect example. Absolutely perfect, because it is reactive in its early stages and then proactive. And that's the shift when you suddenly become a lean organization.
And you didn't have to go, I mean, nothing had to be sophisticated about it. You can be as sophisticated as you wanted to be or as simple as you want to be. Leslie, give us a website quickly one more time.
Kossoff.com, KOSSOFF.com.
Leslie, it's good to have you here on as always. Take care of yourself, and let's do it again real soon.
You too. My pleasure.
Thank you. Yes, Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen. She's in Paris, France. Quick break. Right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.